Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Line forms on the right, babe. Now that Mackie,
Where is he? Back in the World Series.
Look out,
yeah.
Mackie is back.
Oh, it's gonna get worse than this. On the fan. Mick Monagle here with you. I got you for 3 hours. You know the deal. We got Jack on the other side, and we're taking your phone calls at 888-808-1019 on this Tuesday morning. And we'll get to the lousy football, and we'll get to the Daniel Jones conversation. You know I got to have me some Daniel Jones conversations. We'll get to the Jets and Hassan Riddick and where they stand. And we can even still take the temperature of the Met fan and how they're feeling a day removed now or 2 days removed now from losing the NLCS to the Los Angeles Dodgers. But we're going to start right here where we're going to start most days here for the next week as we get ready for Friday, because I didn't get a chance to do this after a death of the season for three different franchises on Sunday. I didn't get a chance to do this on Monday. The New York Yankees are going to the World Series against the Los Angeles Dodgers in an epic matchup, the most common matchup in World Series history. Only the Lakers and the Celtics have played more in championship professional sports finals. And there's a couple of narratives as we, in my mind, still look back at how the Yankees have played and who they've played and talk about what we saw in this American League postseason and then start to get ready for the World Series on Friday. There's a couple of narratives I want to end right now, or at least I want to focus on for a second, because I got to tell you, I am so freaking tired about hearing two things. And first one is that the Yankees didn't play anybody, and they had this easy path to the World Series. And I just want to say, it's the dumbest thing, and I'm so tired of it. And look, did they play anybody as good as the Dodgers? No, they didn't. It's supposed to get harder as you go along. Is it not? So no, they didn't play anybody as good as the Dodgers. And yes, I'd be a fool to tell you that the National League wasn't stronger this year, and that the gauntlet that maybe the Dodgers have gone through, although the Mets pitching staff seemed on fumes by the end of that series, and certainly the Mets have to go through Philadelphia and Los Angeles, and we compare those two teams here in this, you know, city. That's a harder path. But did you watch the American League playoffs? Did you watch the Yankees? Just because the team went through the other teams in short series, just because one team lost two games along the way, doesn't mean it was easy. Because since we're talking about it, Met fans, and I'm looking at you, the ones trying to champion this, the path was easy. The 2000 World Series took five games. Do you think that was easy? Did the Yankees steamroll the Mets in that World Series just because it took five games? Because I'll tell you, I was there. I remember it. It wasn't so easy. It was in fairly short order, but it wasn't easy. And if you look at this series and specifically how the Yankees played and the units that we're going to get into that are going to dictate what happens in the World Series, the New York Yankees, for all of their ups and downs throughout the year, for all their trials and tribulations, for all the different ways they were playing at different times and, you know, 12 or 13 games under 500 for a long stretch of the season, making us all question whether or not they were capable of getting to the World Series. Nobody thought or talked about the path when the Yankees were struggling halfway through the year. But this New York Yankee team, if you watch this postseason, played good baseball. And I know that they didn't hit you know, 500 with runners in scoring position. And I know they didn't score 13 runs a game like the Dodgers did to the Mets. And I know that there were times where games were a little closer than they needed to be. But if you watch this team throughout the playoffs and you see who they played, the Kansas City Royals have two of the top five Cy Young candidates in the American League in their rotation. They had the second best player in the American League in Bobby Witt Jr. They had Salvador Perez. Pasquantino had 100 RBIs. Pasquantino had 100 RBIs. Salvador Perez is a World Series MVP, 100 RBIs. They played well. And if you watch it, the one thing this team was lacking as we watch this Met run that we're still talking about, how great it was, all the heroics. Look what this team did when they went to Cleveland. Look at what this Yankee team did, because you could say whatever you want about the Cleveland Guardians, and you could talk about their record, and you could talk about their division, and you could talk about the matchup that they had, obviously, with the playing the White Sox as many times as they did. By the way, they didn't dominate the White Sox like the other teams in the division did, oddly enough. But this Cleveland Guardian group has been tested and has been in the postseason a bunch in the last few years. And if you look at them, what's the one unit? Their bullpen was not just good, was not just serviceable. It was one of the best bullpens in the sport. And this Yankee team dominated the best bullpen in baseball. And I mentioned the Mets run. The Mets had heroics. The Mets had all these late-inning home runs and rallies. Well, what exactly did the Yankees do in this postseason? What did the Yankees do as they took on the best bullpen in baseball? Because I'll tell you right now, yeah, the Mets got to Devin Williams, one of the best closers in baseball, and Pete Alonso with arguably the best home run of the entire postseason, considering the circumstances. But when you look at it, Class A, Emmanuel Class A, has been the best reliever in the sport, not just this year, for a while. And he had no answers for this New York Yankee team. And he had no answers for Juan Soto. And he had no answers for Aaron Judge. And he had no answers for Giancarlo Stanton. Hell, he had no answers for the bottom of the lineup. And how about that for a narrative? Look at this Yankee team as we get ready for the World Series. How about the idea they have two good hitters? Because I'll tell you right now, Gleyber Torres makes it three. And I'll tell you right now, Rizzo makes it four. And I'll tell you right now, Anthony Volpe is having the best at-bats of his season. And the bottom of the lineup comes through against Emmanuel Class A to win a game. With small ball and putting balls in play and base hits and going first to third and showing speed on the base path and stealing bases against the best closer in baseball. Smith had nothing for them. Kane Smith, one of the best relievers in the sport, had nothing for them, giving up big-time home runs. Gattis, who gives up the home run to Juan Soto, who obviously, in that at-bat, was just, I mean, that's what you brought him here for. And we'll have conversations about Juan Soto. We'll have conversations about Giancarlo Stanton, 888-808-1019. We're going to have conversations about Aaron Boone. But I am tired on this Tuesday as we'll start the transition from what they did to what they can do and what they will do come Friday. I am tired of this narrative that there wasn't a hard job at task, that this was easy, that they didn't have to do anything. I'm hearing it over and over again. I saw the story from this morning from Boomer, as if they didn't have to win these games. They didn't need a tremendous three-run home run in a terrific at-bat from Juan Soto. They didn't need a two-run home run from Stanton. They didn't need all of these classic at-bats and big-time comebacks and getting off the deck after a game that they lost where their closer, who's been terrific in Weaver, gives up a two-run home run with two strikes. I mean, just they were a strike away from going up 3-0 and have a heartbreaking loss. And they come back and Soto hits a home run, a two-run shot in the first inning of the next game. They let nothing bother them. They never got down. They continue to pound this team that does the same thing the Dodgers do and try to throw bullpen at you and bullpen at you and bullpen at you. And you know what? Cleveland does it better. And this team continued to respond. And sure, did they have innings where they couldn't come up with the big hit? That's baseball, Susan. But they got the hits they needed, and their superstars were superstars. And there's a lot of teams, including the Mets, including the Dodgers, who might have gone longer in this series against the lowly Cleveland Guardians, who threw an amazing bullpen at the Yankees time and time again, and they kept coming through. And they had their own bits of magic. And in a postseason, that's sure, will be remembered in many ways, especially in this town, for the Mets run and the Mets heroics. And that's fair. And Yankee fans, you got to live with that. That's fair. We get the World Series, they get the heroics. I'll take that trade any day of the week. But let's not forget the heroics that this Yankee team came up with. Let's not forget the big hits in the big moments against the best bullpen in the sport that the Yankees team came up with. How about the Yankees bullpen, the much maligned bullpen that Brian Cashman didn't do enough for, didn't go out at the trade deadline and bolster, a bullpen that cost them games and felt like it was falling apart in the end of July, early August. What has that transformed itself into? And how different will this Dodger team be in late innings facing a bullpen that's not gassed like the Mets bullpen? Because let's be fair, this Dodger team faced a bullpen of what? Diaz? Buto was nowhere near himself by the end of it. Stanek had a couple of good games, was terrible by the end. Maton, forget about it. Who are the Mets throwing out of that bullpen? Who are the Mets pitching to this Dodger team that we look at now and go, oh, look at that top of the order and how many runs they scored compared to the Yankees, how many runs they scored. The Mets pitching was falling apart by the end of this series. This Yankee bullpen has been excellent this postseason. You got guys like Tim Hill who were cut by the Chicago White Sox. We always talk about the guys who the Yankees let go. Or, oh, he's not good enough to do this, but he's good enough to pitch in the big spot. How about a guy who wasn't good enough to pitch for the White Sox that Brian Cashman and this group scrapped off the scrap heap and brought here, and he's getting huge outs, big double plays, big moments. Tim Hill. Mark Leiter Jr., who wasn't even on the roster to begin with. Hamilton goes down. He needs to come in. How's that for a trade acquisition? Terrible all year. All we care about is what happens in the postseason. And these guys, you want to talk about miracles. How about Mark Leiter Jr. being awful the second he put on pinstripes, coming up with enormous outs in the postseason? How about Weaver being one of the worst pitchers, bar none, in the sport for years? One of the worst starting pitchers in the sport for years, becoming the closer of the New York Yankees, pitching multiple innings, and being one of the most useful and electric relievers in the game right now. And I haven't even really dug in on what Soto has done and what Stanton has done, and we're going to get to Judge and my opinion of what we can expect in the World Series from Aaron Judge. But if you want to talk about a gutty group, you want to talk about a team that continued to fight, got to the best closer in baseball on two separate occasions, did it once with the bottom of the lineup, the last time the Mets and Yankees played, and I know we don't get the Subway Series we all wanted, the last time the Yankees played and Severino said they have two good hitters, he wasn't wrong. Look at this team now. Look at what Gleyber Torres has transformed into in the leadoff spot. Look at what Anthony Volpe is doing at the bottom of the order. Look at how Verdugo has completely changed his season. So many times, this New York Yankee team, no matter who they played, whether you respected the opponent or not, whether it was the big bad Houston Astros or whether it was the 108-win 2018 Boston Red Sox or whoever they were playing, teams better, teams worse, teams different than the Cleveland Guardians, whatever the case may be. How many times has this Yankee team headed into the postseason and all of their guys, Judge included, obviously, which is a storyline with his postseason failures, but besides really Giancarlo Stanton, how many times have we seen guys fail? How many times have we seen guys no-show? How many times have we seen the best players on the team no longer be the best players on the team? Look at what you've seen from the New York Yankees here. It is not a mistake they are here. It is not a fait accompli that they are here. They didn't step over the graves of baseball teams here. They didn't walk all over the dead to get here. They played teams that won postseason series. They played a team that went into the Baltimore Orioles building and beat them twice in the Kansas City Royals. The Houston Astros had every opportunity to be here. They lost two straight home games. The New York Yankees played two teams that had elements that are good enough to win playoff series. And particularly against Cleveland, they did it against an excellent bullpen, and they did it over and over and over again, no matter the situation. Down runs, tie game, best reliever in the sport, bottom of the order, middle of the order, Juan Soto, Giancarlo Stanton, Aaron Judge, Gleyber Torres, Anthony Rizzo, Anthony Volpe. So many guys we wanted nothing to do with. The entire fan base gave a disgusted groan when they found out that Verdugo was starting game one of the ALDS and that it wasn't Jason Dominguez. He's been great out in left field. He's had huge hits. He's put the ball in play. He's done everything you could ask him to do. This Yankee team has been playing its best baseball. And right now, as they head into the Dodgers and will turn into what this series is going to be, and we'll start to preview this series and some of the different things. I already gave you a hint and how important I think this bullpen is going to be. But not only did they win, they fought, they clawed, they had magical moments. They have given you everything that you expect from a World Series champion. They have given you everything that they haven't given you since 2017. And whether it's Juan Soto on his own, whether it's Giancarlo Stanton, whether it's the mix of players, whether it's the manager who deserves a hell of a lot of credit, whether it's the general manager who deserves a hell of a lot of credit, whoever it is, this team is playing playoff baseball. This team is coming through in the big moments. This team, time and time again, got to a better bullpen than they will face in the World Series. I'm tired of hearing about what they had, you know, the easy path they had to the World Series. There is no such thing. There's easier. There's less difficult. There's avoiding your nemesis in the Astros. I get it. But none of that matters now. They're playing in the World Series. They've earned the right to be here. And they went through both of these teams like a hot knife through butter because of how they've played. And because of who they are. They're the best team in the American League. And the Dodgers better be freaking ready. And then the other thing I want to say that I'm tired of. And we can have the conversation, I suppose, if you want to call me at 888-808-1019. But if you think I give a damn where Juan Soto will be next year, you're out of your mind. And I'm so freaking tired of hearing about Juan Soto. And I just read another story yesterday, Joel Sherman is writing about him going to the Mets. Bob Clappish is writing about him going to the Mets. They're in the World Series, and he just sent them there with one of the greatest at-bats we've ever seen. Why are we talking about Juan Soto's future? Aaron Judge was the biggest free agent on the market a couple years ago, heading into the postseason. I don't remember the constant talk about Judge could be in San Francisco. I'm sure it was there, but it wasn't like this. He just sent the Yankees to the World Series. They're about to play the Dodgers in the World Series. Why, in God's name, are we talking about where Juan Soto will play next year, how much money Steve Cohen's going to offer him, what the Mets, who weren't good enough to be here, are going to do in the offseason? Juan Soto is a New York Yankee. Juan Soto will be hitting second in game one on Friday night. Juan Soto is a Hall of Fame caliber player who has helped lift the Yankees to their first World Series since 2009, and I don't care right now what happens in a month. I don't care right now how many zeros Hal Steinbrenner has to put on a check to bring him here. I don't care about the bidding war that the Yankees might not be comfortable with in a month. I care about, my favorite line from that famous speech from Al Pacino in Any Given Sunday. All I care about is the 6 inches in front of my face. And right now, that's the World Series. It's not what this team can be next year. It's not trying to figure out how to get back to the World Series. It's not what, you know, how does Hal Steinbrenner justify not spending the money on Juan Soto? How do you allow the Mets to take over the city by getting Juan Soto? Ah, bah, bah. These are all conversations the Yankees had last year and the year before and the year before. This year, right now, as the World Series starts, those conversations are irrelevant. Irrelevant. And for Met fans who want to sort of use that as some sort of rallying cry or are focused on that as they turn around their wonderful little fun season that they had, if you want to focus on how you could steal the Yankees' thunder by stealing their star player while he's about to play in the World Series against the team you lost to, good luck trying to justify that. I hope that helps you sleep at night. I am so tired of hearing about Juan Soto's future when the future is now. The future is now. The future is Friday night. Out in L.A. Where's Juan Soto going to go? He's going to L.A. That's what I know. He's going to hit second in game one of the World Series. And God damn it, I expect him to be spectacular. 888-808-1019 in a Yankees uniform. I don't know what uniform he's going to wear next year, nor do I care. He's wearing the pinstripes now. He's wearing the interlocking NY over his chest right now. And he's going to don those road grays out in L.A., looking to take care of business in a series they absolutely can win. 888-808-1019. We'll have the parade, and then we'll talk about Juan Soto and where he's going. McMonagle here with you for the next couple hours. I got you till 5 o'clock in the warm-up show. We're starting with the Yankees. We'll get to Daniel Jones and the football. We'll still have a Met conversation if you'd like. By the way, the Met fans have annoyed me a little bit, so I was probably a little bit chippy there, and I've been on your side the whole time, so you can think what you want. I was rooting for you. What ESPN did, I'm sorry. I know you should probably be bigger than it, and I know it shouldn't bother you, but we got to get to some of the social media posts that ESPN, a news gathering organization, at least that's what I thought they were, some of the social media stuff they put out is ridiculous for the Mets and their fans. I have no idea why. I know we all wanted the Dodger-Yankees World Series, at least ESPN did, and MLB and everybody else, but some of the digs at the Mets from the ESPN social media, I have no idea what they're doing. So we'll get to that, Mets fans. We'll defend you there. And we can figure out what kind of season you want to, how you view this season now a day out. Because I told you yesterday, there should be some more disappointment than I'm hearing. That's all. It's always going to be looked at as a fun season. I never doubted it, and it's been a great year for them. But some initial disappointment seems warranted considering what this team was since June. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you, taking your calls till 5 right here on The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.